special? No, and had a part in that? Appreciate it. Last Sunday we talked about the fruit of spirit of love, and this morning it's going to be joy. So how many of you have a lot of joy this morning? How many of you brought it with you? Not many, huh? Oh, Aubrey's got joy. Yes. Don't leave home without it. That, absolutely. Absolutely. Joy is in the Lord. All right. This is a fruit of spirit. I tell you, as I read this, I've been studying it. There's so much in the fruit of the spirit in each one of these nine characteristics of the fruit. It makes you think when you're eating fruit, which one of these is joy, love, joy, peace, patience, and on, you think. So every time you eat fruit, you think, okay, is this love or this joy, faithfulness, patience, and so forth. And just look at it that way and say, this is going to brighten up my day. And especially our joy and our strength is in the Lord. Nehemiah says, and I'll be sharing a scripture on that later. So let's go back to the scriptures, and we're going to look at verse 22 and verse 23, just to keep each fresh in our mind, and each day you should just read these for the next few weeks, beginning with, I might get my reading glasses on here. Okay, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You say those with me if you'd like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So, as I mentioned, the first eight, you know, pretty simple, right? What about self-control? I think that's why Paul listed it last, because that may be an area we all need to work on, is self-control. Okay, looking at the fruit of spirit joy this morning, when you look or think about the expression joy, it's an inner rejoicing, okay? Sort of what we did while we're singing, we're rejoicing, that abides despite of our circumstances. How many of you had any circumstances this week? Did you have any hang-ups or hiccups this week? Was you joyful through those? Or did you not even think about joy? You just had to deal with the circumstances, huh? Well, this characteristic has a little to do with happiness and can exist in times of unhappiness. So joy is not happiness, okay? Joy is much different. There's a different definition for being joyful than being happy. So it's a deep and nourishing satisfaction that continues even when our life situation seems empty or unsatisfying. Now, the relationship with God through Christ remains even the deep, I would say in the deep deserts or the valleys. How many of you have been to the desert in your life? Okay, what about the valleys? Well, there's a lot of those in Tennessee, so I spent a lot of time in the valleys and on the hills there. But in life, you know, David in Psalms 23, verse 4, he talks about the valley of shadow of death, which is Baca. That doesn't mean that you're dying, but you feel like you're going to as you go through some the circumstances or our hardships in life. So it's the Becca, it's the valley. It's the desert sometimes. It's the dry land. And it can just drain you or dry up your bones. And that is not what you call joy, right? Our joy comes from the Lord. So this morning, as we reflect upon joy, the second fruit of the Spirit, it is the natural result of the Holy Spirit alive and working in your life. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. That's why it's called fruit of the Spirit. And it also means having the fruit of the Spirit in our life requires, I would say, some effort on our part. I mean, it just doesn't come naturally. You just go and say, okay, joy, kick in. It doesn't work that way, does it? You've got to put some effort in experiencing joy. And then when you depend upon the Lord and rely upon His strength, that's where joy kicks in, okay? So we're going to look at some scriptures and at some things that joy is not, okay? What joy of the Lord is not. So as I begin this message this morning of this fruit, this gift of joy, I want to start by focusing on some common, what I would call perceptive of joy that doesn't measure up to the way that the Bible presents it, okay? The Bible, I know, just says, you know, be content in all situations, and no matter, well, even James says, through your hard time and things, be joyful, okay? So, as I was looking at some of the definition of what some wise men have said in the past, how many have read stuff from Aristotle? I had to study him in college, and philosophers and all those. But I remember the Greek philosopher Aristotle defined joy this way. He said, finding the ideal balance between the excesses of pleasure and the pain of suffering. Does that make sense? Finding a balance there? Okay, there's a certain degree of truth in Aristotle's view of joy, but his definition doesn't measure up when it comes to the understanding the biblical joy. And there's another definition of joy or happiness that people often say. You know, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he goes on and lists nine more. And a lot of people call that happiness, but it's not happiness. It's blessed, because the blessing is coming from God. And he said, you who do this will be blessed, okay? So those are the joys that the Lord is speaking about that he provides in our life when we experience that in his power. Now, there's another definition of joy and happiness that in America often adopted. And this view doesn't measure up either. A lot of people are having the mistake of idea that joy is new stuff. Does new stuff always bring you joy? It might bring you happiness temporarily, but it doesn't bring joy. And whether I understand the way thinking joy, it's not getting new things. Now, advertising is a big part of that, isn't it? Especially when you see the Super Bowl, they spend millions and millions of dollars for a 30-second, well, $3-4 million just for a 30-second advertisement. Does all of that bring joy to those who are seeing it and experiencing some of the advertisement? No, not all of them. But there is statistics how much Procter and Gamble spend on TV advertising each year. They spend $3,000 each year on advertising. $3 billion. Can you count that much? $3 billion. And to that figure, in putting that in perspective, it's 50% more than the gross natural product of the poor country of Haiti. And Haiti, I'm thinking, is south of us. It's actually a neighboring nation or country below us. But that's 50% more than the product of Haiti in 1 year. That's mind-boggling. So as much as we enjoy things, they don't bring true joy. So now I want to think about one more thing that joy of the Lord is not. Looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Be joyful always." That it does. Paul said, "Be joyful always." Now, some Christians have taken that to mean that they are to walk around praising God, even for the hardships and bad things or sufferings in life. Whatever happens to them, they are to say, "Praise the Lord." Now, there are some passages of Scripture that, taken alone, would seem to indicate they are right. Paul and Barnabas rejoiced when they were persecuted. That's what the Scripture says. However, our greatest example was Jesus himself. While he was prayed for the Father's will to be done in the garden. When he went to pray, he said, "Father, remove this cup from me. Not my will, but your will be done." And he was also sweating drops of blood. To not to be misunderstood now. I don't want you to misunderstand what joy is this morning. But joy is not saying, "Praise the Lord when your world is coming apart." How many of you can do that? When your world is coming apart, you can say, "Praise the Lord." Well, as important as knowing what joy of the Lord is not, I want us to look now what the joy of the Lord is. When it comes to finding the answers to spiritual questions, and we always have spiritual questions. That's why we study the Bible. We come together on Sunday morning. You hear a message, inductive or exegesis or topical or whatever the message may be to meet the needs of you and myself. The Bible is always the right place to go. If I want comfort, I want peace, I want some answers to some of the things that I encounter as a pastor or to help others to find answers to how to directly or indirectly to meet each one of those challenges in life. If I don't know, if I don't have the knowledge, I know where I can get it. So I always go to the Bible. It's always the right place to go to find the answers to life situations, circumstances in life. That's where I find the answers to the things. When people come to me and say, "Mike, Pastor Mike, what about this? I have this in my life. This is happening. I'm dealing with this. What you tell me, can you give me some suggestions? You give me advice?" And I'll think about it, and I said, "Let's pray about this first of all." And once I pray with him, I say, "Okay, now, let's go to the main source, the main textbook of life, and we'll find the answer." So I start searching the Scriptures. And one Scripture, that's why I say it's so important to memorize Scriptures. I try to memorize one a week. And as I do that, I try to restore it in the archives of my mind so that I can, when the right time comes, it comes forth. Just this week on Monday, I went to the visit with a man. He lives the other side of Milan. I know he has some health issues and so forth he's dealing with. And I went to visit with him and talk with him, and come to find out he did not know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. So, first of all, we talked about his situation, his health issues and so forth, which are not good. And then we began to talk about the things of spiritual matters and so forth. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ who can help you through this situation? Who can give you strength and give you courage and hope for the eternal? He said, yeah, I'd like to hear about that. So I shared for at least an hour and a half the scripture, what it talked about his life and eternal things. And when I got through sharing, you know, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And that's a blessing, isn't it? That's a praise report to me, for you. So now, you know, even though his life may not be long here upon this earth, now we know that he has a home in glory. Absolutely. So those are the things that we ought to praise the Lord. You know, our strength and our joy is in the Lord. Now, other than Galatians chapter 5:22, I read earlier, where joy is described as the fruit of the Spirit, I want us to look at three different other scriptures that talks about joy. And one of those is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. This is where the wise men respond when they saw the star in the heavens. Okay, this is like a couple years later after Christ had been born, and they were directed to follow that star to Jesus. And it says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I think I would too, wouldn't you? If I heard, and them being wise men, astrologers and so forth, they had heard about Christ being born, but now they get to go witness and see for themselves. So the scripture says that they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. How many of you have ever done that over something? Have you? You say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, that's showing joy. Okay. The next one is Matthew 28, the women respond to the resurrection. There's all kinds in there where scriptures, whatever its number, there's more than 70 places where joy is mentioned. But here, the women respond to the resurrection. It says, and they left the tomb quickly with fear. Okay, they had fear. They was afraid. There was some question, uncertainty. But yet, on the other side, it says, great joy, and ran to report to his disciples. So it was a joy. They had fear, but yet the joy overcame the fear, and they ran and to tell the disciples that, hey, Jesus is not there. Great joy, okay? All right? Now let's look at Luke chapter 15, verse 7. This response of the sinners who are saved. It says the response of the angels when a sinner is saved. So when this man got saved on Monday, guess what? The angels in heaven was rejoicing. It says, and these are Jesus' words, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one who repents. Just one. I mean, that would make an Episcopalian shout, wouldn't it? And I know a bunch of them. I know a lot of Episcopalians. And so, when you think about that, that's joy. That's experiencing the joy of Christ in your life. So Jesus is the best, I think, definitive way to understand what true joy is. He is the perfect example of anything that God wants to see demonstrated in our own lives. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it expresses perfectly when it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Fix our eyes. That means we are to look and concentrate our emotions and everything within us, heart, soul, and mind. Fix it, our eyes, on the author and perfecter, or finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy. Set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God. And what is he doing for us today? Interceding on our behalf in prayer, in groanings of the Holy Spirit, that we might not understand, but helps us to complete our prayer. And they lift it up to the Heavenly Father and says, "This is your child." They don't know what to pray. They're struggling in their prayer, but we're interceding on their behalf because they belong to you. So, Jesus Christ, the finisher of our faith, he's the perfecter. He helps us to grow. And he helps us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And growing in the fruit of the Spirit is where we find love, joy, peace, faithfulness, and on down the line, gentleness, self-control. So according to this verse here, joy has its basis in the spiritual perspective. Okay, and that's what we're looking for in our life as we fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. So it doesn't necessarily mean happiness, okay? We like to be happy, right? We're happy when we see one another. We're happy when we associate with something in our lives that lifts us up. That's happiness. But happiness does not always last, does it? I mean, you get something new, you're happy with it, and then a week or two, a year, so what? You know, right? But when you meet Jesus, you have the joy. Joy, joy, joy. You know that song? Yeah. I've got joy in my heart. I got love. It flows like a river. Oh, yes. Okay. So, it doesn't necessarily mean happiness, but you don't see great happiness as Jesus is preparing for the cross. But what you do discover as you look closer is that Jesus did keep in mind, I do believe, the fact that the Father was doing something bigger than was easily seen. And that's why Jesus said, "Not my will, your will be done." And that's how we ought to pray. You know, I don't know why I'm experiencing these hardships and sufferings and pains and all this stuff in my life, but there's something bigger than what I see. So God gets the glory. We have the joy because our strength comes from the Lord. And that's why we experience joy. All right, joy is a sense of well-being that comes from knowing God. I cannot express that enough. You know, knowing God is in control, that he is with us, and that we are unlimited at his time, in his hands. Now let's look, I want us to look at an Old Testament scripture, which is very interesting. As I read and studied this particular scripture and tried to see and interpret it and allow the Holy Spirit to teach me what was going on with this particular passage of scripture, it's a passage where Jeremiah says And it's the latter part of verse 10, chapter 8, verse 10, latter part, I will just call it B. But Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want you to think about that briefly. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, that's where you are high and lifted up. Like in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah would say, high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is a God Almighty. So he was saying, the Lord is my strength. You know, I'm dealing with these things, and I have sin in my life, he says, and the people around me are sinful. And God said, you're going to be preaching to them. They're not going to be listening to you, but you're going to do it anyway. So you're going to get the strength you need and the joy from me. So here we see how could the joy of the Lord be their strength? How could it be Nehemiah's? Nehemiah was writing about a difficult period of time they were going through. The people could easily get discouraged and just say, okay, I've gone too much, so I'm just quitting. So the thing that would keep them encouraged is a spiritual battle they were fighting. And it's adequate knowledge of God is what kept them going. As Nehemiah reminded them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you are certain of the faithfulness of God, then regardless of what comes, there is spiritual confidence that goes with you everywhere. You know, it's just not one place, but it's everywhere you go. And I believe that the very thing God was inspiring Nehemiah to write about is the strength of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, next week, I'm not going to be able to get through the latter part, see how joy of the Lord works. there's so much here. So we will look at that next week and examine that. And that will be how the joy of the Lord works. Now, in conclusion, it is only possible with this kind of perspective as we rely upon the Holy Spirit and His work in our life to have the joy, the strength that brings. So let me ask you a question this morning. Who are you relying upon in your life? Who is it? Is it a person? Is it a thing? If you and I are relying upon ourselves to handle all the challenges of our life, we are deep in trouble, right? That's why Nehemiah said what he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So however, if we remember that with God's help, we are more able to handle anything life throws at us. We can live with joy that defies human reasons. And that is how we are to live, because why? Christ lives in us. He not only lives in us, but we need to allow Him to work through our lives. And when we allow Him to work through our lives, then that's what I say how we experience the joy that gives us the strength. You know, when we get to patience and the fruit of the Spirit, I'll tell you not to pray for patience. just pray for the strength of the task that He lays before you. Because I used to pray for patience, but He wore me out with them, so I quit praying for patience. So now I just pray for the strength for the course, for the task that he lays before me. And Lord might have another thing he might want to remind me of or teach me. But patience is tough, isn't it? Sometimes. But until we get to that, we'll think about joy. You know, where is our joy this morning? I'm not talking about happiness. But joy, see, will last. Because it's not in things, it's not in ourself, but it's in the Lord. He gives us that joy. And it will endure through generations and eternity to come. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you that it gives us your perspective, not our perspective. And when we need answers, we can find them. We might have to dig. We got to put forth effort to find anything in life or do anything in life. It doesn't always just come freely to us. You'll help us if we will get involved and be motivated to search scriptures and reflect upon them and meditate upon them and just not read but study scripture. So many people are going around trying to look for answers and find answers when the Bible is nearby. And all we've got to do is turn it open, turn to it, and say, Lord, you know, take me to a passage of scripture related to my circumstance, and then speak to me through the power of your Holy Spirit. And when you do that, then you find joy. Yes, the joy is what the Lord is with me, and I find joy. I've had joy. And our strength comes from that. Anyone listening, anyone here today is not experiencing true joy, Lord, I pray after today they will find it and continue to apply it to their life each day, applying effort, seeking you, running to you. And Lord, just be blessed by you. As we sing our invitation, Lord, which is your invitation, and on our side, our part is to respond. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, telling us what we need to do. May we be faithful in answering to your call this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Under His Wings.